Okay, I want to re-welcome you now that we're on tape. For those of you who want to feel really welcome, this is your second welcome. Nicole, this is the first welcome you get. So thank you. We're going to, just to get it on tape, we're going to use House File 2277 as the base bill, and we'll be moving that later. If for the starters, though, if Council could give us the high view overview of the differences in the Senate bill as passed and the House bill as passed. Ms. White.
Mr. Chair and members, the first two articles of the House and Senate bill are nearly identical. There's some technical differences, which my understanding will be resolved in a technical amendment that House staff drafted. In addition, there is one Senate-only provision that deals with child care, which will be reflected in that amendment that House staff will be bringing. Otherwise, those two articles dealing with licensing provisions are the same. Article 3 is a miscellaneous article, and this language is House-only language. Do
you
want me to go through this
section? No. Just the theme of it, and if members have questions.
There's some mental health provisions, provision related to relative searches, and case management services, and also homeless services. And again, those are that's Article 3, miscellaneous, and it's House-only provisions. Articles 4 through 6 are House-only provisions. However, this language was in the DHS policy bill, which was scheduled for a hearing in the Senate, but then the meeting was canceled. This language is nearly identical to the language that was in the House, in the Senate policy bill, with the exception of in Article 5, the long-term care article, there is a provision related to skilled nursing facility and hospice services for dual eligibles. That was not in the Senate bill. Article 4 deals with child care and MFIP. Article 5 deals with long-term care, and Article 6 deals with health care.
Thank you. Do members have any questions? Any at all?
Mr. Chairman, I did have a question. We Senate Council reviewed with me earlier the year that Article 2 in, Section 2 in Article 5 on long-term care. I wasn't entirely clear on This section deals with people who are dually eligible for Medicare and medical assistance. Council, can you review that piece again? We did have some language I know you showed me earlier. Maybe I can just look at it in the bill.
Ms. White.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kisipaden, this language is actually in a Senate file. And there's only a technical difference. We refer to the Commission of Human Services. The House does not.
Thank you. That's the clarification.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Other questions? All right. Seeing no questions, I would move to establish the base. The proper motion be to. I'd like to move this language. What would the proper motion be to?
Mr. Chairman, it's usually the way the conflict committees usually operate is the chair doesn't make the motions. So I would be happy to move that House File 2277 be the basis for the I would move that Senate File House File 2277 be the base bill on which we build the conference committee report.
Members understand the motion. Any discussion? Questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And I believe you have a technical amendment to offer that, Senator. We can have that technical amendment pass out.
Mr. Chairman, a clarifying question for you. With the motion that we just adopted, does that mean that the House is going to accept the Senate-only provision on the daycare license, family daycare provider license holder, or are we going to...
Senator Kincaid, that's part of that amendment. The 825 amendment is being offered now.
Great, thank you.
And this amendment, the staff has... this would be the equivalent of a side-by-side, since the overlapping portions were the smaller part of the bill. And the Senate staff has gone through and decided where the hyphens ought to be, commas, et cetera. And that's the second part of the amendment. The first part, I'll explain the amendment, is a bill from Senator Langstaff and Representative Marquardt having to do with a child care licensure matter. That was in the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, I can't explain that section because I did offer the amendment on their behalf. There is a community action agency in northeastern Minnesota that would like to be able to qualify as a special family daycare home. Currently, we allow primary providers, or if you're an employer, a church or religious organization, and this amendment would allow a community collaborative that's participating in a cooperative agreement with a community action to qualify as a special family daycare home. We had some discussion on the Senate floor when this was offered as an amendment that dealt with concern about potential for daycare allocation, but the amendment was adopted unanimously, I believe, by the Senate, and it's seen as a way to assure that there's another daycare alternative up in northeastern Minnesota where there's interest in northwestern Minnesota, excuse me, where there's interest in pursuing this alternative.
Michelle, do you have any comment about that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I did do a little bit of research on this particular one. Because we had changed licensing fees associated with child care centers, the concern was, okay, there's 27 community action agencies throughout the state. Would this, because you don't have a definition of what this collaborative child care center would be, is there an impetus for more child care centers like this to be created? And the answer is no, which kind of relieved my thoughts in the sense of where it could go with a fiscal impact. There are none right now. This would allow for one, and there is a second out there that might actually occur, but they do not currently exist, so there's no threat of loss of revenues, and this would enable those more remote areas to have actually have a center where they don't have one now.
Then this would be, it would be operating with 14 children would be the upper limit according to the rules of Rule 2. So it's under the family child care licensing Rule 2 as opposed to the center child care Rule 3.
Anybody wishes to testify on this? Seeing a big rush to the table. Any questions from members?
Mr. Chairman, I'd renew my motion that we incorporate the 825 amendment.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. The next topic we should take up is... let's do the 27. Whatever you call it. We're going to hold on this one.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Sol.
Does having adopted the House file as the file on which to build a conference committee report, does that negate then the need to adopt the common language of the two bills?
Senator, yes, that does, because the technical amendment conformed the languages in the way the councils thought best.
Okay, thank you.
And so now that... Yeah, so they're now consolidated, so we now have a base to work off of.
Okay.
Oh, and this is the TEFRA amendment. Let's take up the A3 amendment. Do members have copies of that? Has that been passed out to the public?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to offer the A3 amendment. The A3 amendment... deals with some provisions related to that will not have financial impact that relate to how we calculate TEFRA TEFRA fees. The first section, I'm trying to remember here. If maybe perhaps Senate Council will wants to walk us through. I'm having trouble remembering the first section of the balance. I remember, but let's ask Council to walk us through. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the first section makes certain that the TEFRA services are considered health services for the purposes of other kinds of health insurance. The second section on page 2, starting on lines 20 and 18, allows us to count all dependents in a family. Currently, when a child reaches 21, they may be a college student, and they may still technically be dependent on their families, but for health insurance purposes, we don't count them as a dependent. This would extend all dependents so that we can count all dependents in calculating the TEFRA fees that parents have to pay. On lines 23 through 30, we discovered, I think this was discovered in my district and probably affected others, there are a few instances where someone has sold a home or a farm and they have capital gains that's one time only, and those capital gains were included in calculating their TEFRA fees. And at least one family in my district ended up losing a lot of the capital gains that they were planning to invest in a new home. So we didn't really, that was an unintended consequence. And we can correct it with this language and assure that families are able to sell the farm, sell the home, and not spend it all on their fees for TEFRA. None of these will have a financial impact on our budget, but many of them will help the families who are paying TEFRA fees have a more equitable fee calculation.
Very good. Any questions from members? Upson, help me. You have any? This is past the House and this passed the Senate. Is this in the Senate?
It's in, Mr. Chairman, but it's in the midst of a lot of other provisions that we aren't taking that would impact the budget.
Fair enough. Anybody from the audience wishing to comment? Mr. Kirby, have any thoughts about this amendment? Nice to see you. Seeing none, and. Senator Cascade removes her motion, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted, and the motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. What's the next one we got? Senator Samuelson wants to offer this, doesn't she? Or do one of the senators? This is the Klefstad amendment. Do you want to do it? Okay, Representative Huntley wishes to make this.
I'm thinking that this was Senator Solon's bill originally, am I correct? Well, Representative Huntley,
I don't think so.
Well, Huntley, you would like to make a motion?
I'll offer 824.
Yeah, part of the price of offering is you have to explain it in detail.
Well, Mr. Chair, there is a mandate for health insurance that says they must cover cleft palate. And when that mandate was put into law, they put up to age 18. And practically everything else in health insurance is you're covered till age 19. So this would make it consistent with every other medical procedure.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I believe this amendment we heard in the we had a bill that in the Senate. I thought it was Senator Solon's.
It was
Senator Lori's.
Well, I offered it as an amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lurie, yes.
Senator Kasatin, I offered it as an amendment. We didn't have a bill here, but I offered it as an amendment to one of our bills. And I remember that the HMOs all testified in support of this, so it didn't seem to have a massive fiscal impact, or they wouldn't have all been in support of it. And it stemmed from one particular case where I think the child was ready to get the tip rhinoplasty, which you can't do, you know, your nose and everything until you're older. And, you know, you have to wait medically for then. And so this made sure that he could continue with the corrections.
And I recall members that in our committee that everybody loved it. And so,
and Mr. Chairman, I'd just point out that this is included in the, I believe, in the Senate omnibus bill. So we do have a Senate position in favor of it.
Oh, good. So everybody loves this. And so any further questions to the Huntley-Lurie amendment? anybody wish to testify about it and offer any more positive thoughts, or shall we just approve it before we talk ourselves out of it? Seeing more, no more discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. There's one last amendment we'll take up today.
Mr. Chairman, this came from one of your members.
It was Representative Osterman.
Yes.
A very compelling story. We're not doing this one.
Which
one? Yeah, the big one. Oh, the big one you have. Let's do the 2720, the policy. This is the last one I have. Shire, are you going to do anything with your business the other week? We're going to do it too, so we're going to do any nursing home stuff. We can do that.
Okay, that sounds fine.
Thank you. Would you like me to chair seat now?
Would you please, an offer? Okay.
Yeah. Representative Abrams? Excuse me. Representative Abler?
Yes, the tax chair will now speak. I'd like to move amendment SCH-227A2. Members, this is the very shrunk down House File 2724, the DHS policy bill. You remember it being a little larger, and sometimes bills are just too darn large, members. There's too many pages being wasted on things that just are just too wordy. And so this is actually what the department declared as being what they had to have out of that bill. And there's I'll have counsel review the essential parts of it. But I would make that motion. Ms. White, you can actually go through this one if you'd like, so if you would, please. You want to call on? Would you please call on Ms. White?
Mr. Chair and members, the first provision that's added is on pages 1 through 7, and it's section 626.556, subdivision 10, and this clarifies that a child welfare agency investigating allegations of maltreatment must inform the alleged offender of the complaints or allegations made against the individual. And this change was requested following a federal review of our statutes. So it's federal compliance. The next provision that's being added starts on page 7, line 36. And that amends section 245.464, subdivision 3. And this allows the establishment of public-private partnerships for mental health services. And this change is necessary, according to DHS, in order to move forward with the innovative partnerships that will support the community-based mental health services. The next provision that's being added is page 8, line 13, through page 9, line 36. And it's section 256.0622, subdivision 8. And this simplifies the rate setting for assertive community treatment teams. This is important in the restructuring the mental health movement, and it includes the staff travel and case management in the daily rate for the ACT teams. The next provision being added is on page 10, and this modifies the definition of foster care to be more in line with the federal definition of foster care. Pages 10, line 30, through page 14, line 8, are provisions that reinstate the at-home infant care program. Page 14, line 9, through page 19, line 11, amends section 119B.125, subdivision 2. This clarifies that background checks that the county must use and specifies how often and under what circumstances the background checks need to be completed. The change also specifies that the records in the provider's county of residence should be the records checked for the background study and not the records in the county authorizing the provider. And these changes also establish criteria for reauthorization of license-exempt child care providers. And that sets forth provisions for when a person does not need to have another background check. The next provision is page 19, line 12, through page 21, line 17. And this amends section 256J.626, subdivision 6, the MFIP statutes. And this allocates to the tribe's funds that are part of the consolidated fund among affected counties if the tribe begins a tribal TANF program. This is necessary to allow the tribes to expand into other geographic areas where tribal members live or have moved. The next is on pages 21 and 22. It starts on 21.18. and amends section 62T.02, and it defines the term seasonal employee. The next provision is on page 22.2 through 22.24, and this relates to information and referral call centers. And the language allows the commissioner to extend the financial participation option to additional community information and referral providers as needed. And then the last provision that's added is, actually there are several sections, on pages 22, line 25, through page 25, line 3. And these sections relate to MA recoveries, medical assistance recoveries, from liable third parties. And without these provisions, the state risks losing potential MA recoveries from third parties resulting from settlements or judgments in actions initiated by the clients.
Dr. Holsummer?
Yes.
Representative Abler.
Madam Chair, I'd like to offer an oral amendment on page 21. I'd like some testimony from the counties that this is that allocation date change. Is someone here can talk about that, 2005 to 2006? On page 21 of the amendment, line 15, the 2005 that were made, if I'd like to amend that to be 2006. And this was important to the counties about the NFIP allocation. It's in the amendment that was in the Senate. But just since this section's in front of us, I thought it'd be convenient. We're not going to take up Amendment 826, if anybody knows about that one. Can someone in the audience testify to that? Ms. Bellis, can you talk about that maybe? This has been known as the Anoka County Amendment, although I think it hurts us. But could you come to the table, please? And, or Madam Chair, could you please call Ms. Bellis to the table?
I'd be happy to do that, Representative Baker.
Thanks.
Ms. Bellis.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Maureen Bellis. I'm the Human Services Lobbyist for Anoka County. And the lines that Representative Abler is referring to are lines 15 through 17. There's actually a separate House bill, and I think now a Senate bill, that would postpone this performance provision for 1 year. And the reason is this. What this provision, which was enacted last year, does, it looks at it looks at county performance with respect to the MFIP block grant that the counties receive. And there's a withhold of about 5%, I believe, is what the agency has kept back. And the counties are judged on these two performance measures. And I believe recently, and I don't know if there's someone here from the department that can testify to this, the agency handed out these sort of performance results. And it looks like just about every county in the state is going to lose at least 2.5% of their MFIP block grant unless this is postponed for 1 year. And that's in the bill that Representative Abler introduced in the House. And I believe Senator Metzen has the comparable Senate file.
Ms. Bellis, has this been negotiated with the department? Has the department agreed to a later implementation date, or is this the position of the counties only? Could Mr. Kerber come to the table, please? Is this in your area,
licensing
Mr. Kerber?
Guy.
No. Is there someone here from the Department of Human Services who could speak to that, the consequences of the delay? Sorry, Mr. Kerber, when you stood, I thought you were coming to the table.
He's trying to run away.
I guess what the counties would like is a little more time to sort of see how this thing really does play out. It's unusual, it seems to me, when you've got just about every county in the state having to suffer a sanction for poor performance.
Could you speak for the department? Identify yourself for the record, please.
Madam Chair, my name is Don Allen. I'm with Children and Family Services in DHS. My understanding is that the income maintenance programs at DHS are not in favor of moving this date.
And Mr. Allen, I know that the department has various divisions. This isn't the division that you normally speak on behalf of, am I correct?
Yes, ma'am, not normally.
So with that in mind, Representative Abler, since we aren't going to finish this bill this evening, I wonder if we could just set that issue aside for a little while and come back to it. Because I don't believe we have a Senate position on moving in the direction that you would take us, and I think we should probably allow the department full opportunity to have their MFIP staff speak to the
Madam Chair, you do have a Senate position. This is
we do have a Senate position. We have moved to
this, just so you know, and if it would if members would like, we could have the department be on notice that we should talk about this tomorrow, unless there's someone who can testify about that. And although I just would like to comment that a system that penalizes every county can't be a very good system.
Ms. Martineau, did you wish to testify?
Madam Chair, it is the department's position that we would rather have current law than moving the state. It's not my understanding that every county is going to be penalized by this. It is my understanding that a proposal the department came forward with this year in Representative Abler's bill was something that had been worked out with the counties, and it was to work to their advantage. This language doesn't include that, but not including that language and not having that date stay the same will not penalize the counties. This is my understanding. Mr. Johnson is on his way.
Well, Madam Chair, I think that the white smoke should be coming out of that chimney any time. We had a 15-minute recess an hour and a half ago, or maybe it's been 2.5 hours now. So I think that we'll just hold this. I'll withdraw my amendment at this time, and if the department can be prepared to come on this tomorrow, whenever we reconvene when the white smoke is cleared
from the celebration times.
Chair, if it pleases you.
Thank you, Representative. I appreciate that. But I think then, Representative Abel, you would move the A2 amendment. Is there anyone who wishes to testify on any components of the A2 amendment?
Madam Chair, just one further comment, if I may. I'd like to point out, just to emphasize, that what's in this amendment is the con amendment from the of the at-home infant care, the restoration of that, to with a 3% carve-out of the basic sliding fee up to, and then the department has the ability to spend less than that if there's less demand. And so I think it's a good amendment, Madam Chair.
Members, are there any questions? Senator
Lord. Thank you, Madam Chair. If anyone could tell me about the assertive community action teams and the billing, including staff travel and case management. I'm assuming, reading the language, that this is to cut just one check or to make it easier, to lessen the paperwork. Is that the purpose of it. It says it's not cost neutral. I'm just wanting to make sure that it isn't actually cutting any of the reimbursements to the assertive community treatment teams. Does anybody know that answer?
Senator Lori, it's my understanding it is to simplify billing and to get some consistency with some other programs where we allow some of that travel time. But is there anyone from the department here that can speak to that? Welcome to the committee.
My name is Amy Delwo. I work with Continuing Care at the Department of Human Services, and that is correct. What it is basically consolidating the daily rates that are provided for clients and allowing counties to also build in their case management and their staff travel time into that single rate, so they don't have to do three different billings. They can do one.
Thank you.
Any other questions, remember? Are you prepared to? Senator Abler renews his motion to adopt the A2 amendment.
Name call.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is adopted.
Thank you.
Senator Abler, do you have any other amendments?
No. any more amendments to be offered today by members? Profound thoughts to be expressed.
I don't think they're profound, but I do think that we need to be clear that we aren't really ready to act on this bill, and that now you can see where our thinking is going, what's on the table. I think it would be best if we just recess to the call of the chair or adjourn for today. I'd prefer, Mr. Chairman, to adjourn for today, and let's see what kind of progress happens in the other kinds of negotiations that are going on. If all goes well, we will have a conference committees appointed fairly soon and a lot of activity around here that will bring you all back for many, many hours in the next several days. So it seemed to me it would be prudent to simply adjourn and then reconvene when we see what progress is made elsewhere. That will give you all maybe a partial evening at home before we do the sprint to the end. So that's that would be my suggestion, Mr. Chairman, that we simply adjourn for now and not plan to meet tomorrow necessarily. Let's wait a day or two because it seems like we have pretty much agreement. We should be able to wrap this up in the last day or so of session, and that would give everyone a little more time to concentrate on other matters.
I concur, Senator, and I do apologize to those who've come in late. It's not your fault. This was hastily called. I thought it'd be after session, and we were hoping for a time during recess. The 15-minute recess seems a little short to do it during, but since the 15-minute recess has become several hours, we just took advantage of that time. I feel more comfortable that this is being held over a bit so you can read over what we did and react to us with glee, I hope, and with the hopes for more work or something that gives you more time to lobby if there's something you didn't quite get done yet. Thank you for all of you coming, and thank you, members. And with that, we're adjourned.